Good morning, Joan. Another busy week in the Vatican.
Well, the pace has definitely picked up. Everyone is back from vacation, including the Holy Father, by the way. He came back to the Vatican this week, and audiences and meetings and documents and synods and messages and so forth, the pace is really picking up. One of the last events of the Pope's stay at Castel Gandolfo, of course, was the Angelus last Sunday. And last Sunday was September 28th, which coincided somewhere in the night of September 28th, the morning of September 29th, of course, John Paul I died after only 33 days as a pope. So it's 30 years ago to that day he died. And Benedict recalled that humility, he said, may be considered the spiritual legacy of John Paul I. Humiltas, a single word that encapsulates the essential core of Christian life and indicates the indispensable virtue for people who are called to a service of authority within the church. And I want to tell you, as I read those words, all I could think of was, this describes the man saying them. This great humility of Benedict XVI, and he's talking about John Paul I. And
so he really left a legacy of spirituality in that very short time.
Oh, he did, and his wonderful book, Illustrissimi, where he has these little conversations with people ranging from, you know, Mark Twain to saints to, it's an amazing book. I'm not sure if it's ever been translated into English, and if not, it should be. But so then we had the Pope saying goodbye to Castel Gandolfo, to the staff members and the gendarmerie at the Castel Gandolfo and so forth. And he came back Tuesday night, and I put on my blog that day, my blog is called Joan's Rome, and I said, you know, Romans love it when their, quote-unquote, pontiff comes back to Rome. And what those of us love who live in the vicinity of St. Peter's or dine outside on Via delle Fornaci, which I do very often at a certain restaurant, you can look at St. Peter's Square in the Papal Palace, and for the first time in 3 months, the lights came on the top floor.
So you know he's in his room.
Yeah. it's very reassuring to see the light on of the Pope's study, and the one next to it is his secretary, Monsignor Kanschwein's study. It's just very reassuring.
To know he's right there.
It's good to know he's back in town, even though he was, you know, basically physically very close. But good to have him back. And, of course, the Wednesday general audience, he only had to move a few feet instead of by helicopter.
Right.
But
let's go back to Monday.
A very interesting day. You know, the popes recently, we've heard a lot more from Benedict and John Paul, perhaps, than others, talking about the responsible use of God's creation, of ecology, of the environment, and man should be God's partner in things. He doesn't take God's place, you know, in nature and so forth. And actually, the Vatican, if you will, is kind of living up to the Pope's urgings to do this, and they began Monday installing solar panels on the Paul VI hall. And there's going to be 2,700 panels that will provide 300,000 kilowatt hours, which will illuminate, heat, or cool the Paul VI hall. Of course, you know, audiences are held here. There's the Synod Hall Sunday. We begin the Synod of Bishops. There's occasional concerts. There's many, many rooms. And one of the plant managers said that if this site is up and working, as they expect in several weeks, we will avoid 210 tons of carbon dioxide, equivalent to 70 tons of oil. Now, these panels, if anyone's thinking about the cost, a German company called Thermovolt mm-hmm. has donated the panels, and they're worth an estimated, you know, $1.5 million. So they've been donated to the Vatican. But the audience hall, interestingly enough, that was chosen because it's a modern structure,
right,
and better can adapt itself to something modern like solar panels. So that's why it was chosen. Plus, the roof had to be redone anyway of the Paul VI hall.
Another interesting news item that you picked out, Joan, is that Vatican City is to become the newest member of Interpol.
Yes, this is absolutely fascinating. There'll be the 187th member state, if you will. And, of course, Interpol is the International Criminal Police Organization based in Lyon, France. I had never known that. And its General Assembly will meet in St. Petersburg, Russia, October 7 to 10, at which time they'll vote on Vatican City State becoming a member. I'm sure there's no doubt. And Domenico Gianni, who's director of the Vatican Gendarmerie, he had visited their headquarters in September, and he He made the announcement last weekend, actually, at Castel Gandolfo. And it was very interesting. For the first time ever in the Pope's presence, the entire Vatican Gendarme Corps had been together, and the Pope addressed them. There was a mass. There was a band concert. It was quite a festive day. And on the same day that Director Gianni announced this, he also announced the Corps' new regulations. And this is fascinating. They had been revised for the first time in 60 years. So it probably would be fun today to sit down and read some of those regulations and wonder what they're about. But first of all, it's wonderful that they are working with Interpol. You get a huge database, not only with Interpol in Lyon, France, but with all the national bureaus. So you have access to the database, and then you have secure communications system to address public safety, counterterrorism, criminality.
So it's really a step forward in security, isn't
huge,
it?
Huge. And, of course, the Vatican, Gianni has said this himself, that they've created just over the last year two new anti-terrorism units at Vatican City. And it almost seems like an oxymoron that we're talking about anti-terrorism in Vatican City, but they're not immune from threats. So an exciting thing. And the Pope noted their banner has an olive branch and an oak branch, symbols of peace and strength, and the figure of St. Michael, the strength of God against the forces of evil.
And Joan, this week also saw the Pope choosing the theme for the new World Day of Social Communications.
A very intricate, interesting theme. New technologies, new relationships, promoting a culture of respect, dialogue, and friendship. And the 43rd World Day of Social Communications will be held in most countries on Sunday, May 31st, 2009. Of course, the message itself, this is just the theme, the message itself is traditionally released on January 24th, the Feast of St. Francis de Sales,
right,
the patron of journalists. So we look forward to the Pope's message, and he knows of the immensely important role, for good and bad, of the media in the world.
Now, Joan, I'm going to ask you to slide over the general audience this week because something very, very interesting is starting on Sunday.
Absolutely fascinating. And, you know, we say, okay, it took God a week to create the world, and it's going to take about as long to read the Bible from beginning to end in what has been described as the longest live television broadcast in Italian history. Now, on Sunday, October 5th, which we must note is also, of course, the beginning of the Synod, which is about Scripture,
right,
Pope Benedict will read the opening verses of the book of Genesis. The nonstop Bible recital will end 139 hours later when Cardinal Tarcisio Bertone, the Vatican Secretary of State, tackles the final verses from Apocalypse in the Book of Revelation. And what we're going to have in those 139 hours, the first hours and last hours will be carried live on Rai, and the intermediate hours will be shown on Rai's satellite education channel.
Right.
But in between, you're going to have 1,250 readers from all walks of life and religious faith, we might add, who will take turn until every word in the 73 books that make up the Roman Catholic Bible has been uttered. Now, it'll be mostly in Italian, but there will be some ancient Greek and Hebrew. So the Biblethon, I guess we could call it that, this the head of RISE division that covers the Vatican says, don't call it a marathon. It's more of a nonstop relay. I'm sure there's very few that will be solidly awake for 139 hours.
But will this be going on 24 hours a day?
Yes. Oh, 24 hours a day. Oh, I forgot to mention that, certainly.
And it's taking place in the Basilica of Santa Croce in Jerusalem.
Yes, indeed.
And I see here that volunteers are doing the readings, and they come from all walks of life, don't they?
I wish I'd known about it in time. Of course, I would be, you know, have the accent if I
Absolutely.
Were to read in Italian. But, I mean, I'm a lector in my parish, and I have been a lector for two of Pope
John Paul's. You could have volunteered.
Yeah, well, I would have. Had I known about it in time, obviously all 1,250 people are ready. Oh, and with my luck, I probably would have gotten the 3 a.m. reading or something. So that'll be absolutely fascinating. You've got some really interesting people, also notables, like the actor Roberto Benigni. And I think each segment is something like 6, 7, 8 minutes. Each person has that long. Andrea Bocelli, the tenor, of course, is scheduled to provide musical reflections. He wouldn't be reading. I think, however, I did read somewhere that there will be one or two blind people. They will be reading from Braille.
Goodness.
And isn't that wonderful? Goodness. I mean, just what a wonderful thing.
And I see here
thing. That
taxi drivers, students, prisoners, you name it.
The people chosen are from just, well, like you said, all walks of life.
Right, Joan. Yeah. Thank you very, very much.
All right. See you next week.
Bye-bye. Thanks there to Joan Lewis for that Vatican Update.